Acts chapter 9, verses number 32. We're going to pick up where we left off. And there's a transition here. We've spent the last few messages talking about Saul and his conversion and even the very beginning stages of a ministry. But the Holy Spirit is going to redirect our attention, to the Apostle Peter. And let's just read here beginning in verse number 32. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. He came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there be found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing their coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we finish up chapter 9 tonight, I pray that you would meet with us. Spirit of God, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, change me. Change us. And Lord, may we see Peter and his compassion tonight. And Lord, may we never be the same as we learn from what you have to teach us through this truth. So I do pray these things, believing, Lord, that you're going to do a miracle in our midst. For it's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Tonight's message is entitled this, Peter's Purposeful Compassion. Listen, compassion is never shown on accident. We never accidentally reach out and show compassion to someone. It's done on purpose. It's done with thought. It's done with an intention. And we see here that Peter is going to show forth that. We see there in verse 32 that as it transitions back to the Apostle Peter, and by the way, we'll be studying Peter, through chapter 12. That's going to show his missionary journeys, if you will, through chapter 12. And then the Holy Spirit is going to pick back up with Saul, who will be Paul. And we will follow Paul from chapter 13 all the way to the end of the book of Acts. So we got a couple chapters here to watch Peter and his ministry. But tonight we're going to see Peter's compassion. And it's something that I desire to grow in. I hope you do. We all have room for growth and showing our compassion. And this is a message that truly does connect with this morning's, but slightly different in several aspects. So we see here, we want to look at Peter's compassion towards several people in the passage that I just read. One of the things I'm praying for as we go through our daily lives, church, is that we will purpose to wake up every day to show compassion to people around us. We get busy, don't we? We get real busy. It's part of life. And then sometimes we get so busy that, frankly, it robs us of our compassion. And we forget how other people are feeling and hurting. And Peter gives us an example here. Peter, the Word of God says in verse 32, when it came to pass that Peter passed throughout, he passed throughout all quarters. I mean, that region, Peter was going about not seeking to miss anybody. He was going out in different places where God was working and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, that is where you will find compassion working out in your life as you and I are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. It'll just happen. Remember, where did I preach that message where there's a natural response and a supernatural response? Was that here that I was just preaching that recently? You weren't listening, were you? No, I don't think it was. But where was that? I cannot. That's going to bug me. But anyway, there was a supernatural response is where we find showing compassion in this way. And I believe we can learn from Peter tonight. And what I would want us to draw is, let's be people of compassion who are looking out for the needs of others. Looking for people who are hurting. Looking for people who are struggling. Looking for people that we can provoke to righteousness, to stoke with encouragement, that we can exhort and come alongside. People that we can evangelize that are obviously unsaved and have no relationship with Christ. We too can be very sensitive to that if we will have the purpose that we need, and we see the purpose of Peter. Billy Sunday made this quote. He said, more men fail, and you can put women there, more men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. And this room is filled with talent. God has gifted each of us in a unique way. But one of the things that we must do with that talent is show compassion with that talent. And so that is a goal. And Peter was a man with purpose. He was set out to encourage the brethren and evangelize the lost. You notice in your Bible that it says there, what was he traveling around to do? It says he came down also to the who? To the saints. God's people. He which dwelt in Lydda. And he was there to encourage them. To show compassion. And it was there where he would extend compassion to this man, Aeneas. Aeneas was a crippled man. He was a paralyzed man. And he couldn't walk. And he was one that would sit there most likely and beg throughout the day. And depend on others to feed him and to move him and all of those things. And Peter made eye contact with this man. And he found him there, and the Word of God indicates here that it was a purposeful action. Now, Peter was a busy man. I got Christians to encourage. I got to get over here and get over there, and folks, he could have easily just bypassed. He easily could have bypassed Aeneas. But he saw Aeneas there, and he approached him and came to him. And there is where we're going to see a divine healing upon this man's life. What does he say to him? He tells him, there, he's been 8 years of whatever sickness caused this. It's been 8 years. And Peter told him, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. You see what he's saying there? He's saying, hey, Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of Jesus Christ, hey, you are healed. In fact, it was a statement of faith. It was the tense that's in that verb there that you see there that is maketh thee whole. He's currently working a healing work in your life right as I speak. God is working. And by the way, when you go out of here today and even here in the church, but when you go out, listen, believe this. God is working. God is working in your life, and every person you come in contact with, He is going to work through you to encourage them, or even through them to you. God is going to work, and He is working. And we see here that He brings about a healing in this man's life. And what happens when that happened? What happens after that healing? Well, he arose immediately. You can imagine how excited he was. And I won't demonstrate. I got in trouble last time I did that, okay? But he was excited about the Lord and excited about what God had done. And it goes on to say, and there were many, and all that dwelt there in Lydda, that town in Saron, saw him, saw that man, and saw that healing, and the Bible says, turned to the Lord. What a result there. And again, God, and this is something we always can know, take it to the bank, God is always working to turn people to Him for salvation. And as we see God change lives like He did through Peter, and this was an apostolic gift, we don't have this gift now that the New Testament is complete, but folks, we still have the gift of compassion. We still have the gift of prayer. We still have the gift of the Holy Spirit to reach out to people and to see the power of God heal them and help them and encourage them. We still have that. Now, we see that as he is moving along and we see this great working, notice the region that he's in, okay? We see there, some of you can't see on one of the screens, so I'll try to do it to both real quick. But as Peter was traveling, remember, the main ministry right now, we don't get out into the uttermost parts of the world, way out here and beyond, until chapter 13. So all the way up to chapter 12, the book of Acts, is the context is right here in Jerusalem and then in this area, Samaria and Judea. So God's still moving them out, but here we have Peter. He's going to travel from Jerusalem and go to Lydda, and then he will go to Joppa. And eventually we'll get to chapter 10, and Caesarea is where he'll be for his ministry. But Peter's coming along here, and that's where he is. We first see this action of healing. He showed that compassion to this man. Did he have to? I'm sure he was busy and had some other things that needed to be done, if you will. But thank God, the Bible records Peter stopping and giving attention to a man that no doubt was passed by dozens, maybe hundreds of times throughout the day and week. And thank God he stopped to show compassion. And so that's what we have. And we're going to see him now travel even a little further. And that takes us on through the next way he showed compassion. The next person he showed compassion to was Tabitha. Now Tabitha had a great testimony for the Lord. She had a great testimony. In fact, her testimony was so powerful that these people were all weeping. These people were all surrounding her and knew of the impact that she had on so many lives. She had a heart of compassion. By the way, trust me, you be a person of compassion at your funeral. Listen, let me tell you, there will be people that show up because you were a person of compassion. And there might be even people that show up that never would go into a church. People that perhaps aren't even saved, they come and they hear the gospel because of the individual who shared the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this lady was most definitely had a testimony of being one with compassion. Notice when Peter got there, they came and got him. And to me, this is another instance of him going, out of his way, if you will. He could have said, men, as those two men ran to him and said, Peter, come. We need you. Peter could have said, look, I'm here. I'm here in this city right now, Lydda. I got things going on, these churches. I've already done my healing for the week. Thank you very much. Okay. No, I'm sure Peter didn't say that. But you see where I'm going here. Folks, compassion is on purpose. It's not going to happen by accident. You have to wake up, and you and I have to wake up in the morning believing that God is going to give us an opportunity to show forth compassion. And boy, did he. And notice what he did. He goes there and he makes the people that are grieving and weeping, he makes them leave the room. They were there and he puts them all forth. And what did Peter do? The Bible says he kneeled down there in verse number 40 and prayed. And when he prayed, God brought forth a supernatural healing and brought her from her death there in the bed, laying there. And he said, arise. And she arose and opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. So we see here a supernatural healing, a supernatural work of God's Spirit upon this woman through the life of Peter, showing compassion. And may we not skip over the fact that the way he showed compassion is that he, number one, went. No steps, no stories. He went. He made the effort to go. He went to her and he went to that house and then he prayed. Listen, church, ask God to do something in your life where you can offer prayer for someone. That is a great way to show compassion. Extend just a simple offer of, hey, can I pray for you? You would be shocked on how much of an impact that can make on someone's life. And I tell you, sometimes people may respond, no thank you, but I can say right now, for the exception of one time since the 3 years I've been here, I've only had one person, decline, for prayer. But all the other times, I don't even tell them I'm a pastor. I just say, hey, you know, I'm either going through a hard time or something like that. I say, look, could I pray for you? There very, very few times, and that fact that one time is all I can remember somebody rejected, but that is something we can do. Listen, we can't go to the morgue. We can't go to places where people have passed and go in there and pray and see people rise up in that manner. This was an apostolic time, and it was an amazing miracle of God that it was done for the glory of God, and it was a time of transition. But now, folks, one thing we have not lost, if we've not lost the ability to pray. Still there. It's still there. We can pray. We can pray for them in private. We can pray for them in public. We can pray for them. I'm so thankful for Ricky giving me the opportunity to pray for those motorcycle riders today. We talked about it. They came and had a motorcycle ride today in honor of Denise Hamilton. And there was probably about 30 to 40, Harleys out here. They all gathered here and went all the way to Talmo Baptist Church. And it was a great ride. I rode my bike with them but I prayed before we left and I prayed at the end. And you know, listen, we may not have opportunities to witness all the time like we, would like to, but folks, there is not many people who reject prayer. There's just not. And so how can we show compassion for people? We can show compassion for at least offering to pray for them. And boy, he did, and God moved mightily. And what happened as a result? After he presented her alive, verse 41 says, it says what? It was known throughout all Joppa. And what? Many believed in the Lord. Hey, church, let's start taking some big steps of faith and getting out there and praying prayers where it moves people's lives in a miraculous fashion. Again, and not the same way here, but what about praying over people that are struggling with addictions? What about marriages that are struggling? What about people that are sick and need God's touch of healing, and God just might use you and me through a prayer of faith and coming and praying over them and seeing them healed and encouraged? I tell you, another, just since it's fresh on my mind, I share it with you. I'm not bragging at all. Lord knows my heart. But there at that motorcycle ride, at the end, one of the men came to me, Mark Hamilton, the husband of Denise, said, look, just so happens on this motorcycle ride, we have a teenage girl, 16 years old. She goes to Jackson County High School. And he said, I went and met her. Her name's Abby, precious girl. But she has stage 4 lung cancer. And as Mark said, would you please pray for this girl? I mean, I was just on the spot here. I got all these Harley riders standing right there in front of me. And the only thing I needed to do is I put my hand on her daddy, who had her in his arms. And they were both weeping and crying. And all I could do was put my hand on that man's shoulder and cry out to God, saying, God, have mercy upon Abby's life. Would you heal her? I don't know if God will. But folks, we need to take God at His word. He's still an almighty, powerful God. and He can still do miracles. And we need to start stepping out by faith and meeting people with some compassion and saying, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. And reminding them that God answers prayer. We see compassion coming from Peter. And then we see through Tabitha and Aeneas. But we also see his compassion through a man by the name of Simon the Tanner. It says here in verse number 43, as a verse, actually it's a bridge verse, I would call it. It's transitioning right into chapter 10 and what God's going to do through Peter. Because remember, Peter is still learning that God loves the Gentiles too. Peter's working through that. That's been tough for Peter. But he's catching on. He's letting God work in his life. And God's teaching him. He's got this Gentile right here. And this man right here, Simon the Tanner. And then he's going to go right into Cornelius. And we'll get into that next message. But this is another evidence of Peter's compassion. You say, why do you think that? Well, number one, he tarried many days there in Joppa with this man called Simon a Tanner. If you understand the context here, this was a man who dealt with unclean animals. He dealt with dead animals. This was a reproach to the Jewish people. These people were unclean. To many of the Jews. And this was this man's livelihood. It was his occupation. He worked with carcasses. He worked with them for his life. And he was really looked down upon from many in that society. But look what Peter does. Peter goes and stays at his house many days. I see a heart of compassion right there. And you know, folks, it's time for God's people to start reaching out that the rest of the society says is unclean. It says they're filthy. It says, no, stay away from them. I believe it is a lie of Satan for us to try to avoid those people. And it's time for God's people of Crooked Creek Baptist Church to start having a heart of compassion for those that are unclean to society. Who are rejects, who are lowlifes, who are perhaps had a troubled life in some way and have got into some perversion in their lives. And it's messed them up. Listen, I want to tell you, if there's anybody that ought to go to them first, it ought to be God's people. God's people! And only it will come through a heart of compassion. It's something we need to pray for. God, give us a heart of compassion as we look upon the needs of people, the needs of our own church, people. You see, Peter. Hey, this is no news flash, but let me say this. There are hurting people in this church. There's people hurting tonight. You say, Pastor, are you thinking of any particular individual? God is my witness. The Lord knows my heart. I am not. We're human. We're human. Of course there's going to be people here hurting tonight. We're all dealing with hurt in some way. Perhaps we're coming out of a hurt, going into a hurt, experiencing a hurt. It's there. But here is the question for God's people tonight. Are we people of compassion and do we know about it? Do we know about the hurts that are represented here tonight? I believe God wants us to know, and that goes back to my message this morning. How can we know unless we are considering one another? That means deeply knowing one another, letting each other into our worlds. Come into my world. But we don't do that because we make ourselves vulnerable that somebody's going to see some bad spots. Well, it's there. I got them. You got them. We need to get over that. And we see here that there is a hurting people in this church. We know who they are. And I'm just going to give you some practical questions here with the Lord's help. I'm going to go through these quickly. All right. First of all, How can we as a church be people of compassion to where we can be purposeful and showing that compassion? I'm just speaking now in the context of the local body, Crooked Creek Baptist Church. First thing is this. Ask this question. Who haven't you seen in a while? Many times those that are hurting are out of church. They've been hurt sometime in the past or just dealing with something and they haven't been able to get over it. Who haven't you seen at church in a while? That's a good first question. And if God has brought somebody to mind, I believe it would be a wonderful idea for you to reach out to them and show them some compassion. Even if it's an email, text, or if it's a show up on their door saying, "Brother or sister, I don't know what you're going through, but I just wanted to tell you that I love you and I'm praying for you." That's a great place to start, church. Who haven't you seen in a while? Who haven't you talked to in a while? Maybe Satan's having a heyday with their life. Maybe they're waiting on a Peter who goes out of his way to help someone show forth that compassion. Second question is this. Who does the Holy Spirit impress upon your heart? Listen, I beg you, I exhort you, church. Make it a habit. Make it a habit to pray that God would impress upon your heart in your devotional time and your prayer time people in this church to whom you can pray for. People you can approach. Say, "Lord God, you know the body. You know the needs. Lay a face on my heart. Lay a name on my heart. Lay a family on my heart. Lay somebody on my heart, God, that I can reach out to and show some compassion." God's Holy Spirit, oh yes, He will. He will bring that name to your mind and your heart, and you'll have liberty to simply reach out to that individual. Ask the Spirit of God to impress upon your heart and your prayer time. And if you have trouble, grab a bulletin. You don't have to grab those outside of Sundays, okay? Grab a directory. Grab a directory and you grab that directory and you look through those and let some faces speak to your heart. Let some of those names, some of those people you hadn't seen, they'll jump off the page. God will use you to show some compassion. Let me say this tonight. Now after this one, y'all might want to start smiling at the same time. Some of y'all aren't smiling right now. But you and I need to watch each other's countenance. I mean that. As a regular, perhaps a mannerism, a God-given way of, or God-given mannerism is that God has, I believe, designed us. We show, most of us, now some can hide it, some have that gift, I'm not going to kid you here, but most of us, there is an exception, but most of us wear our feelings. Would you say amen right there? In church, we need to be observant. We need to look at each other, God's people. Make eye contact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at them. Don't just pass them by. That's not a heart of compassion. When you stop, start talking to them. Perhaps they just had the worst week of their lives and you can tell, and perhaps privately without drawing attention to them, perhaps you could just say, "Hey, how's it going?" Maybe send them a text and you don't have to say, "Hey, you look pretty sad today." You don't have to say anything like that. You can just, in your own heart, you can observe a countenance of someone that appears to be struggling, and they may not be. But isn't it worth taking that chance? Isn't it worth just taking that step to see? Watch for the countenance of the brethren. You want to know who the hurting people in the church are? Just look around. Be observant. Consider one another. And then the last practical one, and I'm sure there are other ones and maybe even better ones. I don't know. These are the ones just God put on my heart. Here's the other one. Ask questions. We have so many avenues of communication. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. All the social media, email, texting, it's just apps. Oh, it's just amazing the communication tools that we have. And may we use those avenues for God's glory to encourage God's people. Not to tear them down. Not to gossip. But to simply reach out and ask some questions. This is a good question right here. Listen to this one. How have you been lately? Because a lot of times we go by, you know, it's just natural. I'm not being critical of this, but a lot of times, hey, Ben, how you doing? Good. Yeah, pretty good. All right. Ben, pretty good. That is a common response. Now, I don't doubt. I'm sure Ben's doing pretty good. Just came back from the wilds. I'm sure he's encouraged. And there's no. But my point is this. Many times, because of our context here, many times, good, thank you. You know, it's just a polite response there. But a polite response. But here's the thing, what we need to do. This is where you can do it through a text, email, or if it's just the two of you after church, just asking this question. Have you been lately? You're saying something in that. How's your walk with the Lord? Or has there been any struggles in your life? And then you can follow up that question with this. Listen, how have you been lately? But the other question is this. How can I pray for you? That's not invasive. That's not too much. If they can say, well, just pray that I'll be encouraged. I mean, people can give general responses if they don't want to go into detail. But God's people, we need to ask that. How can I pray for you? I got a text this morning from a member, and that was all it said. How can I pray for you? That was such an encouragement. That was such a blessing. And I'm sure that same goes for all of us. If you just get that, because it's communicating love. It's communicating compassion. And that is what God is calling Crooked Creek Baptist Church to do. Amen? Amen. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said. He said, a good character is the best tombstone. Listen to what he goes on to say. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when forgot-me-nots have withered. And he goes on to say, carve your name on hearts, not on marble. You see what he's saying there? May we invest our lives in making an impression and an impact on people's hearts. Showing love and compassion. That is where it's at, friends. That is where Jesus Christ is glorified. That is where the church is revived. And I see Peter in his life, and even this little small section before he jumps over into Cornelius, and we'll see it there too, but compassion towards these people. And I close with this question, do we know who's hurting in this church? There's only one way to find out. Get to know. Ask questions. Pray for the Holy Spirit to impress upon you. Watch each other. Look at each other. We've had people that have gone through very deep trials, some even here tonight. Brother Bill Weatherly. I think of Brock Wynn, and I think of Ms. Linda Harris, and I think of those all of us who grieve over Ms. Elizabeth's home going. There's a lot of hurt in here, and there's a lot of widows in our church, and there are widowers in our church now. And you know what? When I did a survey on our dear widows, our sweet, precious, godly widows, over 2 years ago, there was a common theme on every one of them. And you probably have guessed it by now, when what is the struggle, the burden, the hurt, the struggle you're dealing with in your life, by far the main thread was this. Loneliness. They were hurting. We were so busy in our lives, we get so caught up in us, and we forget about people who are hurting. And may God's Spirit help us and wake us up to the needs represented right here in this room, right here in this body, and even around us in this community. I'm praying for revival of compassion, and I ask that you pray that with me. God will be glorified. Let's pray. Holy God of heaven, thank you for the Word of God tonight. We want to thank you for the impact that it's making on our lives. And Lord, tonight, as we give an invitation, I pray that you would move upon us and help renew us in our compassion. Would you stand with me, church, and as the instrument...